Greetings from Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And we are joined today by frequent Patreon supporter and frequent make us listen to stuff-er, Daniel Caramillo. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing good.
Yeah, did I pronounce the last name correctly?
Having grown up where I grew up, I think I get a different last name depending on who you talk to. Camarillo, Camarillo is typically I'm fluent with any variation of my name.
But not Caramello. Like, I should stay away from calling you Daniel Caramello.
Well, unless you're going to offer me chocolate with caramel inside, then it's okay.
All right. Fair enough. Well, welcome to Soundography again. And tell us who you have made us listen to this time.
All right. So a little bit of backstory before we get into it. So yes. I thought my wife, Priscilla, was going to do this episode. And then when you reached out to me, I'm like, okay, so what band do you want to do? And she's like, I'm not doing one. You do one. It's your turn. So I had to go, oh no, panic. And I looked at all of my music. I'm like, okay, who haven't we done yet? Who's someone that is going to be obscure enough where at least I assume most people aren't going to know who they are. And I went with Cell Dweller.
Yeah. Good choice. And it's no surprise that my only experience with Cell Dweller prior to doing this episode is the covers they've done. And they've done some great covers. Their cover of Bee Gees' Tragedy is good. They do, or he does, I should say. It's a guy, right? Not a...
Yeah, it's just Clayton.
Not a band.
Yeah.
The Imperial March from Star Wars. I mean, he's got a really great resume of covers that I'm already familiar with, but familiar with absolutely nothing else. How about you, Hammond? This is brand new for you too, right?
Yeah. It's funny though, how much it sounds like a post-therapeutic Rammstein.
I was thinking like a Nine Inch Nails, but an easier one to get into, like a very, more accessible.
They're the more well-adjusted Rammstein or Nine Inch Nails.
Okay, sure.
Still with their issues, but yeah.
Yeah. Or it's kind of like it's like Stabbing Westward had a child.
Hmm. And it's funny you should mention that. I guess we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, let's talk about obviously we know the why of why you picked Cell Dweller, because they were the first thing that came to mind. But have you been a big fan of these guys of Clayton for a long time?
So here's where it all started. Back in the dark days of 2003, Stabbing Westward had broken up the year before, and there was these things called message groups where people were doing mailing lists. And there was a Stabbing Westward mailing list where everybody was desperate to find something to listen to because there just wasn't anything, you know, when Stabbing Westward broke up. And somebody recommended this band, Cell Dweller, and their album had just come out. Turns out it was their first album. And that's really where I started to listen to them. So their first album came out in 2003. And then they've had a lot of albums since then. Honestly, I stopped listening to them in about 2015 with End of Empire. And it just fell off my radar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, so I've always liked that first album is, in my opinion, the best one by far. Mm-hmm. And everything since then is good, but I don't know, that first album just is so much and more my wheelhouse of what I enjoy.
Yeah.
With the exception, because I bought the more recent albums in preparing for this, and I was very surprised with one of the songs off the latest album. So, so that's kind of what my history is with Cell Dweller.
Cool. So as of the recording of this is kind of some inside baseball for Soundography listeners. As of the current recording, or when we're recording now, I've listened to the first couple albums. I really did love that first album a lot. So I can see exactly the self-titled thing. I can see exactly where you're coming from. I'm still excited to listen to the rest of it because so far, what I've heard of the second album, I really like. But I'm really excited to kind of get into this and hear more.
You're going to have a treat with the last album.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here, you know, hanging out. I finished it. I listened to the whole thing. I listened to it. I think I finished it late last week. And I enjoyed the whole thing. There are some things in there that I didn't enjoy as much. But overall, the way that the music is produced and put together and written and all that kind of stuff, there's always something to kind of hang your hat on and enjoy. So I didn't know anything going in, and I might. Do I call myself a fan now, or do I just like it? I think I'm a fan now.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, no, this was good. Have you ever, does he do concerts? Does he tour and stuff?
He's done a few. I looked that up. I haven't been to any other concerts. It looks like they actually had a couple here in, up in San Francisco near where I'm at. But I hadn't been to any of his concerts. And I think at the time he did the last concert, I was in Kentucky at the time, so it just didn't work out. I wonder what it would be, what it would look like as a live show. Having seen Nine Inch Nails, having seen Kanga, having seen Stabbing Westward, I mean, it's possible it would be a really good show. I just haven't been to one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always the question is a one person outfit like this, one person band kind of thing. How does that translate?
He could always bring his buddy Chris Angel along to help out.
That's true.
Oh, don't bring up Chris Angel. Don't make me find something not to like about Cell Dweller right from the beginning.
So full disclosure, I actually looked up their history. I mean, I guess you guys will probably prepare for the regular show. I had no idea that, you know, where Clayton was at before Cell Dweller. I only knew in looking it up for this. So my interest in the music was just in the music. I didn't know much about Clayton other than he was a one-man show. I had no idea that they were in like an industrial band before and that, you know, there was roots in Christian industrial. I didn't know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised to read that myself. And then he had the side with Chris Angel that was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Well, I promise I won't hold any of that against him.
He's reformed. He's mended his ways in Brian's heart.
That's right, exactly. Well, no, I just you know, if I can separate the Who and Pete Townsend from any weirdness that happened before, or Pee Wee Herman or things like that, you know, with some musicians I can separate that, then I can easily separate just someone being friends with Chris Angel. That's easy enough to do. So you mentioned your favorite album would be the first one. Are there any particular tracks that do you want us to kind of pay attention to and say, oh, that's really cool?
So I did top five as usual. So, and four out of the five are from that first album. So my favorite song is actually Frozen. I think that other than that, Under My Feet, Symbiote, and I Believe You are other songs I really like from that album. I would say that their big hit obviously is Switchback, which I know has been in some video games, it's been on commercials, so it's been used here and there. But that's definitely his biggest song as far as I know.
And it made Brian's list.
It did make my list. It was like the first thing I heard, I'm like, oh, this I'm liking this already. And so I immediately put on the list, even though I guess if there was a greatest hits, this would be the greatest hit because it was used in so many places. But
to be fair, he doesn't have a greatest hits. And perfect. You know, that you can definitely pull that in. Yeah. I give you a pass on that one. And it hooks you in. That's like the, you know, it has the initial like 3 second intro song and then it goes right into Switchback. It's just like such like, oh, I'm in. Right. So it's such a good song.
It's really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
But for me, I'm a lyric guy. And that Switchback was like, I know that essentially that song is about how he's giving up on being in like a mainstream music guy and he's just going to go off on his own and do his own thing, which, you know, it was cool. I mean, I think that he has had a good career. He's made the most of it since then. But yeah, it's a good song. It's definitely my top 10. So
very cool. I think you've only given us a couple out of your top five, or did you already say all?
So I did four, and they were all off the first album. Like I said, that first album is just
Frozen, Switchback,
Under My Feet, Symbiote, I Believe You.
That's right. Okay.
Cool. And then, you know, I think that the rest of the catalog is good. Have you gotten to the soundtracks yet?
Yes, just gotten into the first part of Soundtrack for the Voices in My Head, Volume 1. And I've already locked down, or have I locked down Solaris? I have not, but I'm doing that right now. Because I was in the car and I heard that and I set a timer and said, in 1 hour, remind me Solaris.
Nice. Yeah, and that's really good background music. For me, when I'm working, that all of those albums are they're so good background music. And I mean, I think, I don't know if he said it or somebody else said it, but essentially it's like video game music that you can see yourself playing something.
Those were created specifically for people to license them.
Yeah.
Oh, were they specifically for like video games or background music for other things? Oh, that's cool.
Yep. And very the way cool. he releases stuff is super interesting too.
Which is, are you going to tell us?
We can save that information for later, or we can cover it now. All right,
save it for the show. Okay. Fine, fine.
We have to have something for people to hang on to. My gosh. Good point.
Good a little point. Bit of spoiler.
That's I mean, right. I've been Hold listening out. To America's Next Top Podcasting Idol and understand the mastery of the tease.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't discount the master of the tease. Who's going to go home? Find out. Yeah, exactly. Who's going to go home on this episode of Soundography? Not me.
It's probably me.
Spoiler alert, all three of us are already home. No, this is very cool. Is there, besides the songs you mentioned, are there any things that you want people to kind of listen for as they're listening to this episode?
So while I was, because like I said, I stopped listening at End of Empire, and then I just, I recently got the more recent albums. Honestly, off of the most recent album, that there's a song called, let me say it really slowly here, Heart On. Very important to say that a little slowly.
Thank you for giving us an explicit tag.
yes. And you know, I really, really like that song. It's so hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really good song. I was very pleasantly surprised to hear that off of End of Empire. I honestly just think it's music you can listen to that's just good. You can just, you know, bob your head going along just while you're doing other stuff. And I don't know. I think that I would say that certainly the first album was my favorite by far. But the other stuff's still good.
Cool. No, I'm digging what I've heard so far. So this is great. I've got stuff to look forward to listen to all weekend long. Daniel, so much. Thank you so much for recommending this. This is a great pick for us this week.
You're welcome. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Oh. You never tell with Hammond. I think you like it.
I said I'm not sure if I like it or if I'm a fan, and I think I landed on a fan.
Okay. Well, you can. There's no reason you can't be a moderate fan or an early fan or something like that.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, this is great. Where we ask you this every time, Daniel, but where can people catch up with what you're doing?
I don't really have an online presence. I have a Twitter. It's at Shaladane, but I don't really use it that much. Other than that, I'm just usually working, so not much time to be online.
People can come find you at your place of work and bother you there. No, not a problem. Well, very good. Daniel, one more time, thank you so much for supporting Soundography. Forgot what show we were doing for a second there. Thank you so much for supporting Soundography, being a patron, and thank you for recommending Cell Dweller.
Thanks, guys.
Greetings from Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain from my basement.
And prior to the show here, you heard Daniel Caramillo, or Caramillo. I guess I got correct, Caramillo, but not Caramello.
No.
Not how to pronounce it. Who is the sponsor for this episode? He is a patron and paid enough to get us to listen to Cell Dweller, as you heard in that intro. Really enjoyed it. Now that I've come up on the other side of it, since recording that intro, I've finished the library and totally dig it. Very, very cool stuff. Really dug this. And it's funny because the songs that didn't have any screaming in it, I really liked a lot more. The screaming songs were few and far between. That's always been sand in the clam chowder. It's just something that gets to me or grates on me. But there were so few and far between. In most cases, I didn't even skip those tracks. Like, I'd listen all the way through. And it's like, all right, yeah, that wasn't my cup of tea, but it wasn't enough to make me go, no, stop, next. It was all really good. How about you? What'd you think overall?
I actually had a really good time with this week. I made the comment that he was like a therapeutically dosed Rammstein, and I still stick by that.
That's also a good description. And a funny one. Very good. Well, let's talk about Cell Dweller. This is an electronic music project by Clayton Albert, who was born Scott David Albert back in 1969, like me. The name came from a nickname, Cellar Dweller, because of all his music was made in his parents' basement. I was wondering about that, if because I was almost going to make the joke, we listened to Cellar Dweller, but I didn't realize this actually came from like a shortening of his nickname.
I actually am really glad that it wasn't because he spent so much time in jail.
Or in biology. He had a large following from another band that he worked in called Circle of Dust. And in the late 90s, he released Angel Dust. It was a project he did with Vegas magician Chris Angel.
And one of Brian's favorite shows to see every time he goes.
Another piece of grit in the clam chowder is Chris Angel. It's like he is the rock in the shoe that is Las Vegas.
What's weird, wasn't he and Carrot Top, weren't they sharing the same building for a while? So it kind of was, kind of fit.
I think they were, right? They were both at Luxor. Uh-huh. I know that Chris Angel's currently at Luxor. I don't know if Carrot Top, if they overlapped or if it was like the handing off of baton. I really actually don't know where Carrot Top is now.
Wow.
I hear if you drop a prop on the ground, he'll be there within a few seconds to pick it up. Clayton started creating songs for Cell Dweller in 98, 99 and released a limited EP that sold out quickly. He worked with producer Grant Moman on the album that was scheduled to be released in 2001, but it kept being pushed.
Okay, and before you get started, I want to say this thing about the schedule not being held to.
Yeah.
It starts here and continues throughout.
It's almost like, I don't know, it's almost like he's a podcaster, yeah, or a Kickstarter maker or things like that. During that time, by the way, in 2001, or during the time it was getting pushed, he released the raw files of Symbiont to mp3.com. This gave fans and other musicians a chance to remix his music, which is funny, before it even really came out. 8 remixes were then chosen and placed on the site. This led to over 500,000 downloads of that song. Those remixes, by the way, were released on a digital EP 6 years later. The debut album, self-titled 2003's Cell Dweller, debuted at number 17 on Billboard's internet sales chart. It gained widespread success and critical acclaim. Birthright and Switchback were songs found in Tap Tap Revenge for iOS.
Did you ever play that?
I bet I did. It's like a Dance Dance Revolution kind of thing, right? And you're tapping on the screen.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I never played it.
I tend to pick up games like that. I do like the Rock Band. There's a great new Queen Rock Band style game on the Apple Store, and it's actually a lot of fun. All Queen music, and it's like a Rock Band Guitar Hero kind of thing. You play with your thumbs on the sides as you're holding your phone or your iPad.
Yeah, cool.
In 2004, he released The Beta Sessions with a C, because he has Cell Dweller. It was a 2-disc set that contained the last Circle of Dust song, Goodbye, and alternate mixes of other songs. The second disc of Cell Dweller was an instrumental release of the debut album with a few edits and tweaks. In 2006, he had the concept of the Take and Break It remix competition. This was a 3-round competition, and he expanded it in 2008 to include the music of fixed artists as well. In 2008, he released Soundtrack for the Voices in My Head, Volume 1. This was a collection of mostly shorter instrumental score compositions. He thought these would be good for TV, film, and video game licensing. It's a clever thing that I think is something that would be even more in demand today with people doing Twitch and video game videos on YouTube, where it's like, oh, I want to have the soundtrack of this yeah. playing in the background.
I'm pretty sure he was ahead of the curve on this. I know a few other musicians that have done like catalogs that you just can buy and they are fully licensed to use for whatever you want. And I think he was one of, I think he was way ahead of the curve on this. And I think it served him well.
Yeah, it was a smart, very smart move. He started work on the second album in 2004 and was originally set for release in 2006. But guess what? It too was delayed like the first one was. Of the 50 songs that he had, he narrowed that list down to 10 songs. And he said that the leftovers would find their way onto Beta Sessions releases. I recognize my disease before my time is gone. Is all I've found. Can't get the hell off the ground. Out from under my feet. Most of them did. In 2010, he took his act on the road, performed with Fixed and Blue Stolly. He also performed at Dragon Con that year as well.
Were you there for that year?
I'm trying to think of what years I was at Dragon Con. Was I there 2010? Oh, I might have been there in 2010. Yeah. I think that's where I saw George Robb the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there you go. 2010. I was there with Cell Dweller. In 2011, he released the Sellout EP Volume 1. This was an iTunes exclusive. You don't know the power of the dark side. The next year, he released Soundtrack for the Voices in My Head, Volume 2. This was the second production-based release intended for licensing for film, video games, and TV. After having released the album in chapters from 2010 to 2012, the entire thing was released in the summer of 2012. And the released edition had a couple of very long ambient pieces that were out of the norm from his regular style. Around this time, he produced the debut album for Blue Stolly, appeared on Dead Rising 2's soundtrack, and worked with BT and JES.
Now, BT, I got to be honest with you. Are you familiar with his stuff?
I'm not, no.
I don't know BT. I found him through one of those Dance Dance Revolution games. He did a song for one of them, and I really, really liked it. And so I bought the album from iTunes that it was on. And I have to admit, I'm kind of a fan of his way of doing kind of production style dance music. He's really pretty good.
That's cool. Yeah. So it's dance music, you say?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. No, I'll have to check it out. I don't know what JES is.
I'm not familiar with them either.
In 2012, he released Wish Upon a Black Star. The album was broken into 5 chapters, and those were released over time from August of 2009 to 2011. The full release was done in May of 2012. It was mostly well received.
AllMusic did say, with the heavy production sounds by turns, crisp or brutalizing, even the most exciting moments can't save the album from its cheesy lyrics and played out musical choices, at which are as abundant as its moments of legitimate excitement. AllMusic seems to really enjoy the music of him, but doesn't enjoy the lyrics of him. And I'll have to say, after a while, some of his lyrics were a bit, I felt they were sophomoric, like they were written by a high school kid in love.
Yeah, right. Notebook, spiral-bound notebook lyrics. I think so too. And for me, and usually I am a lyric guy, for me, it really was, I didn't even really pay attention to the lyrics because I don't want to say I suspected that they were kind of throwaway, but they became kind of throwaway for me, way secondary to the music itself.
Yeah, I think that you're not listening to this to sing along. Yeah, you're not listening to sing along or get anything out of the lyrics. You are listening to this to bob your head and or to dance.
Correct. Yep, definitely. Live Upon a Black Star Blu-ray was released the next month in June of 2012. Later that year, in September, he released a clash-up of Miss Murder's Personal Jesus. It had elements of AFI's Miss Murder and Depeche Mode's Personal Jesus. And the end of the year, 2012, December, Space and Time, the EP, was released. In 2013, he celebrated the 10-year anniversary of his debut album with a re-release of the album with extra content. Sophisticated with your feet on the ground. Also in 2013, he released Complete Sellout Instrumentals Volume 1. This was a complete instrumental collection from the prior EPs. This is one of those libraries that you do not have to listen linearly. You can hop around from album to album, figuring out what you like and not worry about, oh, I got to make sure I listen to this in chronological order. You'll see development, but because some of that stuff is older stuff that's released on later albums, you really don't know the chronology.
I actually, this is one of the first and maybe only catalogs I was able to listen to almost. I just put on Pandora on him and let it go. I went back and looked at the songs I marked I like, and it wasn't like I was going album to album going, ooh, did I need to listen to this in between. This more was just making sure I gave everything a fair shake and then went back and looked at the songs that I'd marked.
Exactly. Yeah. The only reason I listened to it chronologically is just to make it easier for completion.
Yeah.
But easily could just say, random, you know, shuffle random Cell Dweller songs. And I would have had just as great a time doing that. Around this time, 2013, he worked with I See Stars. He wrote for Dead Rising 3. These are great zombie games, by the way. And for the movie I, Frankenstein. Never saw that, but I know it was
a feeling.
Hugh Jackman is Frankenstein's monster, is that right?
I think so. It's going to be a fantastic film sack when you guys get to it.
It absolutely will be, yeah. I remember the posters for it, and I remember thinking, yeah, that's probably not something I'm ever going to...
You won't see it alone. You'll watch it as a film sack thing.
Because, it'll be film sack for sure.
Yeah. But it felt to me, I didn't see it either, but the ads for it put it right in that...
Priest. With Vision.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that was painful to get to.
Anyway, it's very much like that film.
Just in tone, just in like
tone and style. Yeah, the style and the period of time where they were doing that kind of, they wanted to be, what was that other one? Sucker Punch, but they had to do it in other ways because Sucker Punch was already done.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, Sucker Punch. Beautiful movie. Horrible. Writing script,
beautiful movie, horrible movie.
Beautiful movie, horrible. Perfect. Well said. Yes. Okay. Josh Viola, by the way, was brought on to write a book based on and inspired by Black Star. In 2015, he released End of an Empire. This was a concept album set in the world of Arira.
I don't know how to pronounce it. I just copied the word down.
Okay. It's not, but it's not supposed to be Akira, right?
No, Arira? It's not Arira. Arira.
Sounds like I'm Scooby-Doo. It focuses on the ruler who's dealing with his civilization and conflicts in it. It, too, was released in chapters starting in 2014, as well as a 5-CD set released the next year in 2015. Also in 2015, worked on the soundtrack for Killer Instinct Season 3. And then the next year, Voices in My Head, the soundtrack for Voices in My Head, Volume 3 was released 2016. We'll be right back. This was released in chapters, as he's done with his prior releases, and a complete set in late 2016.
I think he started doing the chapters to prevent production releases. Delays. Yeah, I think he was like, here's 15 songs. I'm just going to go ahead and put them out. We'll call that chapter one, and people get off my back.
I think that's a great way to do it too, right? It's giving them, and it's really, I think, going to be more the way that bands release music as time goes on. We're still, most bands still release albums. I see the Patreon model probably happening more often with bands where you subscribe to Weezer and every time they come out with a new song, you get it. You don't have to wait for them to be compiled on an album.
Yeah.
Unless the album makes sense to be
released
as a thing.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I think that there are a few people that I follow on Patreon that do that very thing where you get the demos and the stem tracks at one level, and then you get all of it, including the finished master, at a different level.
Yeah, all the Jack Conte bands, Scary Pockets, Pomplamoose. Of course, he is a co-founder of Patreon, so kind of makes sense. But he does that for all those bands. And it's a logical way to do it. It totally makes sense as a way to do it. In 2017, he released Offworld, which following 1 year following Soundtrack for the Voices in My Head, Volume 3. Made the shortest production time between his releases.
I bet it's because he had a bunch of these songs that were going to be on Soundtrack, and he just went ahead and turned them around into the album because he had them.
Yeah, it's less about writing his shortest writing time, but it's probably like, oh yeah, I've got all these. I'm just going to get these out now.
Yep, clear my desktop.
Makes sense. In 2021, this very year, he released Satellites. And in late 2019, he released a single called My Disintegration. All right, tell me some statistics and general notes for Cell Dweller.
So in 2004, Cell Dweller took home 7 awards at the Just Plain Music Folk Awards, which I think that sounds like a great place to go because it's not fancy music people. It's Just Plain Music People Awards. Mm-hmm. And then in 2005, he took home the Best Male Vocalist. And in 2017, for Killer Instinct Season 3, it won the Video Game Score of the Year.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
I've never played Killer Instinct. Is it any good?
I think I've played one of them. It's a fighting game. Stairway to Heaven song. So let's say you go see him at Dragon Con. What song are you guaranteed to hear Cell Dweller perform?
I haven't got the foggiest. I want to say Switchback because it was an early single, but I might say For the Horde because it's Dragon Con. I don't know.
Yeah, or Black Star.
Yeah.
Black Star would be my guess. All right, let's see what we got. Setlist.fm. Frozen. Is number one. I can see that. Also from that same debut album. Own Little World, Switchback. So all the stuff from the first album. Then you got So Long Sentiment, Eon, The Lucky One, The Best It's Going to Get, Tainted, Through the Gates, Symbiont down at number 8. His mashup of Disposable Heroes and War Pigs, First Person Shooter. Oh, The Miss Murder Personal Jesus. He's performed 9 times in concert. He does a cover of Cry Little Sister by Gerard McMahon, the song from Lost Boys.
Yep.
Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode.
I could hear him doing that.
Easily, yeah. Right? It feels like Depeche Mode is right up his alley, and I kind of wish I would have thought of that for my cover song.
any Depeche Mode, even some Erasure, I could hear him doing like Crackers International stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. All right, so Frozen, his most performed song.
Just
concert.
Let it go. Hey, I have not done any of those this episode, so give me one.
I know. And I was in the process of writing up an award certificate to send to you, but I'm tearing it up right now. Speaking of covers, who would we like to hear Cell Dweller cover? A regular segment here on this show. I'll start. And after hearing one of the choices in my list, I thought, oh my God, having him do an entire album, these would be amazing. Specifically, video game cover songs done in his style. And most, like top of that list would be the Super Mario Brothers theme.
Yep.
I think he would kill it. It would just be so cool and have such a hard edge to it that it'd be amazing. And no vocals and no screaming to distract me. Just rock versions of video game songs. How about you, Hammond? What you got?
So I went for a real song. I mean, I'm not the Mario Brothers isn't a real song.
Oh, wow. Well.
All right. My true feelings about Mario just came out.
Apparently, yes.
I picked Rock Me Amadeus by Falco. I think this has a solid beat that he could kind of hang on to. It has the freedom to arrange and rearrange it pretty much any way he wants to. And you could use his voice, but I mentioned Rammstein earlier. I think you bring in him because of the German.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah. You drop him into it and you got yourself a match made in heaven.
Yeah, you're going to rip on me. Not real music. Super Mario theme.
I just said a real song. I didn't say it wasn't real music.
All right. Fair enough. Let's get to our playlist. This is where we pick five songs by the artist to listen to. There's really not a greatest hits. Everything's fair game. My first one is a cover. It's a cover of the song by the Bee Gees called Tragedy. This is the first song on the second disc of that Cell Dweller 10-year anniversary. Dude, this is so awesome. It adds such an incredible hard edge to the Bee Gees song. It's so good. And prior to listening to his music this week, Tragedy was one of only two or three songs that I actually knew by the band. And yeah, he does a little bit of screamo in there, but it's so minor that I totally forgive it and I totally still love the song despite it. The next one isn't a greatest hit. I don't know what is, but it's Switchback. This was the first song that I listened to. There's a little bit of a lead-in track to this, but then it goes right into Switchback. So this was the first thing I listened to this week by him. And already I was like, oh, this is great. Total great kickoff. I know I'm going to love this week, and I did. So still hooked on that first song. Solaris, which came out on Soundtrack to Voices in My Head, Volume 1. The cool sweeping instrumental. I tend to love his instrumentals more than the vocal tracks. We talked about the lyrics, which just are, I think for me also just distracting. I don't think you need them. The songs sit on their own beautifully and work well without them. Game Over, which is written with fours and threes and zeros and stuff like that. This is on End of an Empire, and this is such a great combination of the hard edge keyboard and guitar work that he's got with actual chip tunes mixed in. And it is such a, it is the right way to do a hybrid of those two styles. If you're going to do those two styles in one, then Game Over is the bar that's been set on how to do that right. It's so good. And then Hammond thought for sure I'd like For the Horde from Killer Instinct. And I did. I did. He'd even typed it into my playlist already for me. I'm going to go one track before that, though, for my song number five in my list, The Dragon Spirit. Which is, if you take Game Over and replace the chiptune with Asian-inspired, like Japanese-inspired fight music, then you've got that. And for whatever reason, another great track that I can put on while I'm working and not be totally distracted. Really enjoyed this week in those five. Let's get to your five, Hammond. Well,
I just want to say the reason I picked For the Horde is because all you WoW players just run around the building screaming that at each other. So I kind of figured
all
that was
you WoW players. I am the worst example of a WoW player. I check in for Raid every Wednesday and Sunday night. And they say, hey, Brian, do you have any flasks? No, I haven't had time to make any this week. Can you make me some? All right, let's get to your playlist. Hammond, tell me your five.
All right, well, I picked The Wings of Icarus. From Voices in My Head Volume 2. This is such a great, cool mood. My imagination was running wild. It also sounded a little bit like the power metal songs that like Nightwish or From Within or some of these other kind of European power metal songs do. I kept waiting for the female vocalist to kick in, the operatic female vocalist to kick in for it to really kind of come full circle. But I really, really like that one. New Elysium from End of the Empire. This made me think of the music from Batman Beyond. It had that kind of approach to it that it did. And I really enjoyed the music from Batman Beyond. So mm-hmm. It was a good thing.
It's funny that came up on TMS this week.
Oh, did it? Mm-hmm. And then Callisto from Volume 3 of Song Soundtrack for My Head or whatever it's called. And it sets such a great sci-fi mood. Again, most of this stuff I put headphones on once I realized what I was into. When I got to those soundtrack for the voices in my heads, I just put headphones on and kind of just listen. And it was really, really enjoyable. I know a lot of people don't have time to do that, but if you have even an hour to grab one of those and put some headphones in and just listen and let your mind kind of go where the music takes you, it's a lot of fun. And it's a great exercise and just relaxing a little bit. But
those were my favorite releases, the soundtrack to The Voices in My Head. Those, loved all those.
Yeah. And then I picked Too Many Tears from Offworld.
Your time on this earth,
while we're rocking the cradle, we're riding the herd. And this was like he thought, you know, what if Pearl Jam were the band in a sci-fi bar? Because it really did have a Pearl Jam feel to it, but it was dabbled in sci-fi-ness. It was like Fifth Element met Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
And then Echoes from Offworld. It was nice to hear him be more thoughtful and more kind of more thought-provoking in the mood he was creating. On this earth, while we're rocking the cradle, we're riding the hearse. We keep moving upward towards everything free. And kindly look downward, now you'll see me. I've had 6 years of luck. I've had six on the line. I've poured myself out. Yeah, like it wasn't the lyrics that set the mood as well as it was just the use of a voice. And the way he was using his voice was cool and helped really kind of sell this more pensive mood. It was one of the slower songs, I guess, on the whole catalog, but I really enjoyed it.
He's great with those, the concept albums too. Like more of those.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah, I think his stuff kind of works really well for that format.
And I think if he actually worked with some people to help with lyrics and other extra vocalists he brought in as like a collaboration for, I don't know, a concept album about Fahrenheit 451 or something, I think it'd be awesome.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be really good. That's a really good idea. Very cool. Well, big thanks again to Daniel for suggesting this. This is an artist I definitely would not have heard much else by, you know, more than the covers, were it not for his sponsorship and support of the show. So, dude, thank you so much, and really appreciate not only you recommending this, but also your support as a patron. If you want to support the show as a patron, now's a great time to do it. This is our season finale, so it's going to be a few weeks. We're going to take a few weeks off, sort of, from doing new shows. We're really not, because we still have things like You Gotta Listen to This and our continuing monthly Patreon shows where we look at music movies. And Hammond's next one is, what is it again? Remind
All
me.
Things Must Pass. The
All Things Must Pass.
Power Record thing.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that one. I keep thinking every time you tell me the name for a split second, I think it's a George Harrison documentary about that first solo album after the Beatles broke up.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. I'm okay with it not being that.
But that movie would only be six words long.
No, because that was way before he did Got My Mind Set on You. And All Things Must Pass was a double album. So there. Nice try. Anyway, so All Things Must Pass be our Patreon movie. Not too late to get in on those Patreons. If you join our Patreon, then you will get those things, as well as all of our regular episodes released. It's not like you have to maintain two feeds. If you become a patron, you get everything. So it's a good way to get the fire hose, as opposed to just the weekly trickle.
Yeah, and you get clips. You get clips of things I cut out. There's going to be a fair amount from this show that I stick on.
Quite
there.
A few from this episode. Yeah, should be a lot of fun.
But
listen,
none
to
of
us
them
Google.
None of them as clever as the and as shocking and landmark as the typo negative one.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of the season. So make sure you jump on our Patreon. If you want to get in touch with us, please email us soundographypodcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. And love to get your ideas and suggestions for the show. Follow us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. Of course, visit our website, soundography.com. You'll find all of our episodes there, each one containing the following items: a link to Spotify, where you can listen to our playlists, or as many of the songs in our playlist as Spotify has. You'll also find a link to Amazon, where you can buy music by the artist we're talking about, just a recommended album. This one will be that 10-year anniversary deluxe edition, because I think it's got so much of the stuff we talked about, so it's a good place to start. You'll also find a way to support us on Patreon. I talked about that, so make sure to check that out. Also, when you're getting our show, if you're getting it from a podcast client that allows you to do reviews and you've got a good review, leave it for us. We love hearing what you have to say. And if you have a bad review, just email us and let us know, and we'll try to fix it. More dad jokes. You don't do enough dad jokes. Signed, Schmammond Schmamberlin.
Where's the Dream Theater show?
Yeah, right. Nobody's saying that. Also signed, Schmammond Schmamberlin. That's going to do it for this season. Thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple weeks for You Gotta Listen to This. In the meantime, follow us over there on The Soundography. And on behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.